It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hi there, how you going? Happy Friday. Thank you for making us part of your afternoon with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. So, yesterday at 841, more than 4 hours, 841 hour time, more than 4 hours after Colorado had officially announced its move back to the Big 12, the Pac-12 conference finally issued a statement. It reads as follows. The Pac-12 is comprised of world-leading Freudian slip there.
Yeah, kind of a big one there.
World-leading universities and athletic programs who share a commitment to developing the next generation of leaders, supporting student-athletes' academic and athletic excellence and broad-based athletic success. Oxford, comma, minus. We remain committed to our shared values and to continuing to invest in our student-athletes. Today's decision by the University of Colorado has done nothing to disrupt that commitment. We are focused on concluding our media rights deal and securing our continued success and growth. Immediately following the conclusion of our media rights deal, we will embrace expansion opportunities and bring new fans, markets, excitement, and value to the Pac-12. This was released sometime after essentially an all-hands-on-deck meeting in the Pac-12. And I think that it is very telling. This is such a backwards way to do things. I don't understand. And that's like, I've never spent a day in athletics administration, right? Shocker. Surprise, surprise. I am not involved in big business. I have not negotiated really any kind of deal, let alone a multi-million dollar deal. I've not hired people. I mean, but it, you don't have to have been involved in any of that, Gus, to just understand the logic here is flawed. How are you going to, especially now, how are you going to go to any prospective media partner and say, hey, buy our stuff. Hey, buy it. When they have no idea who all will be in the league next year, right? It could be San Diego State. It could be SMU. It could be Tulane. It could be all three, right? How do you structure a deal that Oregon will say yes to, that UW will say yes to, when your TV partners will have incomplete data?
And if, I mean, clearly they hadn't signed anything toward a new media rights deal. Most of us would assume that it was somewhat loose conversation, or here's our drop dead number and Klyavkov was trying to work it, you know, get a little more linear or whatever, play A against B, however that was working. But I just can't believe that. If I was a media partner there and I had given the Pac-12 a number, hey, George, you know, we're going to be good for $800 million over 5 years, you know, or whatever that number is. But that's not, you know, that probably somewhere in there, and again, I'm sure this wasn't to the level of something in writing, but just in conversations, we could see ourselves here. Probably didn't include, even if you replace Colorado with San Diego State, and even if this thing is shrouded in uncertainty, this thing being your future, other conference schools perhaps leaving or with an eye on the door, there's no way. I mean, I think that was going back to the, probably overused by me, the analogy of a stock. You know, that it's sell. Get out of that thing before it sinks. That you know, it can't be seen as anything other than a dime on the dollar thing right now. Because if you're a media partner, you sit back right now and go, I'm just going to wait and see what happens here. You're scrambling, dude. I may be able to get some scraps from you, or I'm going to sit back, and again, specifically with ESPN, and go, you know, ESPN and Fox can sit back and go, hey, we're going to let, there's more value in them, if they're over here in this conference, which we also have a media partnership with. Like, you know, I think about it from their perspective in terms of what would I have done differently, because you got to issue a statement at that point. But, I mean, it's just unfathomable that, you know, that they're trying to portray this position of strength and everything when, you've already lost the media partner due to a deadline. They're self-imposed, you know, I'm not media partner.
San Diego State, but, right, yeah, expansion candidate.
Yes, and then behind that, you lose a member institution because they were like, hey, need something by Thursday, and you couldn't deliver it. You know, at some point, if I'm on the other side of that negotiation, I'm sitting back going, hey, they just imposed a deadline on them. Let's just see what happens here. I mean, there's just no, on the other side of that, there's just no strength in their positioning right now.
I don't see any way out for them. Mm-mm. And again, I have no connections here. This is just me reading coverage like everyone else and kind of trying to, make this all square. And there's no way to do it, right? Because on the one hand, ESPN and Fox, the two dominant players in this space, don't have just a whole bunch of open inventory, right, in terms of time slots because of their commitments to the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC, on top of American and Mountain West and all that other crap. And oh, by the way, not really a coincidence that the chancellor of Colorado specifically mentioned, we want to be involved with ESPN and Fox during his comments yesterday in Boulder at the press conference. So you have the two dominant players that don't...
Can I stop there? Did he use the word linear, or was that my imagination?
I don't know that he used the word linear, but he specifically said Fox and ESPN.
I knew that. I couldn't remember if he used the word linear. And I didn't want, that might be me infusing that in there, right, and implying that, which you kind of are on the Fox side because they're not a heavy streaming partner. And I thought, boy, that would really be telling if he used the L word here, because that might be a real indication of what Colorado had felt like they were hearing from the Pac-12. Like, hey, Apple's really interested. We're not.
So you either have the option of a very uninspiring, low value deal with ESPN, Fox, maybe CW, whatever. By the way, they just signed a pretty big deal with NASCAR to show some truck races on Saturdays in the fall. Or you go heavy streaming, which no one in the Pac-12 wants. That there is minimal, I mean, outside of the Oregon States and the Wazoos and maybe the Cows, who will say yes to anything, there is apparently, and this is not surprising, there is no appetite within the Pac-12 for a streaming-heavy deal. And so while you might get close to the Big 12's number with that, you might even exceed it, although you wouldn't really profit as much because you'd have to pay production costs. No one wants that. Oregon doesn't want that. Washington doesn't want that. And so there's all these different fires that they need to put out, and you can't put out them all. And unless you put them all out, you're done. I mean, they're toast. I don't see how they move forward as a functioning power conference anymore, short of some of these four corner programs, or Oregon and Washington not having kind of the institutional stomach to make a change. And you know, if that's the case, then they're still toast. They're just going to die on the vine instead of explode.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I can't imagine if I was in Klyavkov's shoes, I just can't imagine how, I mean, the level of just I mean, you have to be a stone cold killer to beat them. Use that K word, but you know what I mean. Just a stone faced bad man to be able to hold your water with, you know, because you're calling everyone that's left. Hey, Oregon, we're good. You know what I mean? And like somebody on the other end going, really? I mean, like just to portray all that needs to be portrayed at this point after a year of bumbling. I mean, just doesn't add up. And, you know, again, I said it the other day, you got one, maybe three spots, and if there was one of those five schools, I'd want to be in it.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron. We're with you today until 6. We'll have Rangers baseball coverage beginning at 8:15 as they begin a weekend series with the San Diego Padres. Astros coverage yours at 6:40 on 100.7 The Score as they start up a series against the Rays. There is an article that was just posted this afternoon from Sports Illustrated, Pat Forty and Richard Johnson. And you've seen, if you've been out there and consuming this content like I have, and I'm sure a lot of you have, you've seen a similar story written by Brett Murphy, by Pete Thamel, by Ross Dellinger. And the thrust is, you know, Big 12 determined to add another school quickly. Big 12 wants to get to 14. They want answers quickly from 1 to 3 Pac-12 schools. 14 is the preference, right? That's the strong preference. And if they don't get a yes from one of those three, they'll go to UConn, right? I think this is just public pressure.
The UConn thing?
The UConn thing and the really like 14.
Oh, the 1 versus 3.
They want to get to 16.
I do too. But it's a perfect way to speed them up. It's like I've talked about. It's a five-school race to 1, maybe 3 spots.
They have played this thing, it seems, based on what we know, and maybe this is easy to say because they just picked off Colorado yesterday officially, but it seems as if they have played this perfectly, whether on purpose, by design, or by pure dumb luck and accident. Either way, it plays out the same. You know, and the just ocean of content out there that is suggesting that Brett Yormark loves UConn, right, adds more pressure here because it's like, listen, if I'm Arizona or if I'm Arizona State or Utah, if I don't give them a yes here, they're just going to go get UConn, and UConn will say yes.
Yeah, and in that case, if it's just pure gamesmanship, I keep saying 5 for 3, 5 schools for 3 spots. If he's willing to go to UConn, you know, and you have to acknowledge two things about him. If you don't know much more than diddly poo about him, basketball guy, New York City guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a pretty good bluff, if it's a bluff, but it's again, if you're one of those five, like, hey, don't dismiss the UConn thing, because the other thing UConn's done, and I've realized their football is a problem, I guess, if you will, by Big 12 and Power 5 standards, but you know their head coach is now it's Mora, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Jim Mora, who was an NFL head coach, who was the head coach at UCLA. Now that alone doesn't transform things, but
it at least shows a seriousness.
Yes, and that's exactly where I was going. I think they went to a bowl game last year as a 6-6 team, so it's not the dregs. You know, the dregs of a program in the Northeast that nobody cares about. It's got a little bit to it. And again, if it's just being used as leverage, as just something that's hanging out there to, you know, get who you really want, which is the rest of the four corners or Oregon or Washington or whatever, you know, it's real. I mean, you have to look at that and go, hey, he's serious about basketball. We don't need to jack around.
This in the chat line. With all the info that you're aware of, who from the pack will be/should be in the Big 12 to make it competitive against other leagues? I mean, I guess, and I hate to be like semantic guy, but I think that either of these are interesting but also separate conversations. Is it competitive on the field, or is it competitive in terms of media rights deals? And, you know, it's going to be very, very challenging for you to be competitive media rights deal-wise with the Big Ten or the SEC. Unless 4 years from now, when this TV deal is up or about to be up, and you are negotiating your next deal, if you uncouple your football coverage and your basketball coverage and sell them separately, I think there's a possibility, maybe small, but a possibility that you really kind of close the gap some. On the field, I mean, if you pick up Oregon and Washington and Arizona, or you know, Oregon, Washington, and Utah, you know, that'll do it.
Oregon and Washington are the tent poles remaining in the Pac-12, and they're dead without those two. I mean, it's hard to even scrape up in any sort of a legit way of, like, you're still one of the Power Five. You just lost USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington. And again, I'm playing out that hypothetical. They would be screwed beyond belief.
And there are probably some folks out there screaming at their car radio going, well, I mean, Arizona has been terrible in football. Why? And they have. And Utah is a much stronger football program and have been for the last 15 years, basically, maybe a bit more than that. Although I do question what are they like post Kyle Whittingham. Where Utah is strong in football, Arizona is strong for you in basketball, and I think that matters. And you get revenue from the tournament, man. You get units for appearances. You will benefit from having Arizona in your conference if they end up transferring. This in the chat line. A lot of assumptions. You truly don't know if the Pac-12 was fine and almost encouraging of Colorado leaving. You're right. I don't know that definitively because I'm not in the room. I think that you're an idiot if you think that the Pac-12 wanted Colorado to leave. I think that you are truly, like, you should be featured on the Message Board Geniuses Twitter account if you legitimately believe that Kliavkov and those folks are, like, playing some 3D chess to get Colorado out. That's asinine.
You're dreaming because
some of the dumbest, actually one of the dumbest things I've heard texted into this show before.
Because their most likely successor, their most, you know, perhaps the next most valuable property out there that was the most obvious to join the conference, they jacked around on that till past July 1st. And the $16 million exit fee for San Diego State went up to 34, or whatever it is, $35 million, just over, again, if you're playing 3D chess, that was a what's your brilliant explanation for whizzing $17 million out the window? All of that on top of a conference office that owes $50 million to Comcast or whatever. Yeah, there's probably lawsuits and whatever coming on that thing, but isn't it Comcast?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's dead money.
What,
are you passing the hat at a Pac-12 meeting and going, hey, everybody in for $3 million?
Selling cookies, big sale. When was the last time the Pac-12 did something smart? Right? When was the last time that they did something that went like, oh, okay? Right? I mean, the height of their Q rating, right, or approval rating or whatever is somewhere 2010, 2011, 2012. When they had a chance to invite some Big 12 programs, they didn't.
Including Texas.
Yeah, including Texas
including
and Oklahoma.
Texas, yes.
And they had a really good deal that on the surface. Everyone thought they had their networks. And then from that point on, it's just plummeted. And, I mean, I can appreciate asking some questions and wanting to understand the why to things, but they've given you no reason, no reason at all, period, over the last several years to think that they have it figured out, that there's some kind of master plan here at work.
Right.
It just doesn't exist. And if you want to question the Big 12, if you want to say that they lucked into the TV deal that they got because they decided to go early, that's fine. I mean, that's a fair question.
You and I have offered that up.
Like, right.
They may have.
Was it design or dumb luck?
Right.
fair question to ask, but there aren't even similar fair questions to ask with the Pac-12. It's been dumb move after dumb move, misstep after misstep. They don't deserve your benefit of the doubt.
And they, you know, that was a league that said no to Texas, Oklahoma, and some other combinations.
Twice!
Yeah, twice.
Twice in 2 years.
They bumbled their own Pac-12 television network. Take, you know, the two commissioners now that have been panned, from Larry Scott to Kliavkov, who have been panned for these decisions. A bunch of presidents who hired both and probably have committees and whatnot that signed off on a lot of these decisions. I mean, there's just not much about it that you can say they're just, to what you said, that they're some kind of grand puppet master playing 3D chess, because it's been a decade of misses to the extent that it could be the end of them.
Well, that's the end of this segment, but we'll be back. Can't say the same thing about George. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, how are you? Good afternoon. How you going? Thank you for making us part of your Friday. Hope it's a great one. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the EH Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Brendan. I'm Aaron.
He brings us back to the Eagles, and that was some music news this week. Randy Meisner, one of the original founding members of the Eagles, died earlier this week. So what would that put him on the list with Glenn Frey? I'm not ready to think about the guys that were in the Eagles dying, but it's a reality. So RIP Randy Meisner.
Kind of a downer. From Raiders dad, AD, could a Florida State-type school stomach a buyout to move to the Big 12? Lots of grumblings earlier this spring and summer about unequal revenue sharing and wanting out. If a brand like that with an Oregon paved the way for a bigger deal now. So we'll attack that question in two separate parts. Unless Florida State thinks that it has some way out of the ACC grant of rights that no one else has figured out, I cannot comprehend a way for them to get out of the ACC. I just don't see how that works. Now, you have had people that cover Florida State. Chris Knee, who works for their 24/7 site, used to work for Rivals a while ago. He has said that, hey, Florida State's looking to get out. He's mentioned August 15th as a key date. I haven't really been paying a ton of attention to it just because I think that it's very unlikely. I just don't know how that would work mechanically. And where would they go? Because, again, the most kind of logical answer you would think would be the SEC. Those are both all-in ESPN properties. So what sense would that make from their standpoint?
It's not like the SEC needs them for survival.
No, I mean, like, I don't understand it. That makes my head hurt. And then Raiders Ed also asks, would a brand like that with an Oregon pave the way for a bigger deal now? So I think if you're a Big 12 fan, if you're a Tech fan, I think there is a possibility for you to increase the value of your TV deal. I think that requires you adding three more teams to get to 16, which is why I think ultimately you want to get there, despite all of the 14 talk that's being pumped out there by the Big 12. Because I think at that point you will have added enough inventory, and by inventory I mean football games, you will have added enough inventory to be able to go back to your partners and say, hey, we have all this extra inventory. Would you like to pay us more for it? Or if not, that's fine. We're going to go and see if we can get another bidder for it. These extra games that were not part of our original conversation when we signed these deals. I think that's very valid, fair. You would not tick anybody off. That was always the conversation with the Big Ten, right? If they added Oregon and Washington, and this was mainly talked about 9 months ago before it was really just totally shot down, was if you add Oregon and Washington, you can maybe sell another package of games to Amazon or to some other partner. And so that would, I think, be the hope with the Big 12. If you get to 16, you'll have this added inventory, and you can maybe sell it to an Amazon or a CW, which, again, seems very interested in being in sports They're going to air some ACC football games. They just purchased NASCAR rights. They have some golf. That's the avenue to maybe increasing the value of your current deal. Is it going to be some massive windfall that puts you on par with the Big Ten and the SEC? Definitely not. We're not talking about, you know, $20 million here, but it will be certainly more than what you have now. This in the chat line. I've heard ESPN and Disney are having stability issues and therefore may not be in a position to offer a large enough contract to satisfy the bigger remaining Pac-12 members. I mean, it's a combination of factors, and I think, you know, one of the more significant ones is they just, where are they going to put them? There are only so many hours in the day. There are only so many linear channels. They just don't have a whole bunch of open spots for them, right? Especially at a high price point.
And that the last part there is the key. I mean, they're not paying a ton of money to populate ESPN Plus,
right? Or to put them on
or the U
Friday night at 8 o'clock and then Saturday night at 9 o'clock. You know,
mm-hmm.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. From Joey in Odessa, does anyone else feel like there's a more likely chance to add three than just one? I don't know about more likely, but I think it has to be considered. It has to be thought to be on the table.
16 is a very square number in terms of the logistics of operating a conference. The most important thing is an even number, but when you think about who would be added or could be added, certainly from the five Pac-12 properties that are, I guess, in consideration for these three spots, there's really, tremendous value. Maybe tremendous is a strong word, but it's a really good value with any of those five. I can't believe it's just one, but I also think it's negotiation. As you talked about, it's the thought of leverage. Hey, I might just stay with 14. You know, that's a leverage play that creates emergency on the other side to make sure, you know, there's some gamesmanship involved in, a game of musical chairs in which you don't know if there's one chair or three.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. There is some guy named Greg who has a podcast that I think is saying Florida State is looking to leave the ACC ASAP. What I can't tell is if he's saying they're looking to join the Big 12. Seems like a huge stretch, but he insists there is smoke around them leaving sooner than later. I mean, I don't think that you need a podcast. And I think you're talking about Greg Flugar, who's been talking about the Pac-12 for months now. I think he's somewhat credible. I mean, he's worth listening to. He was the one that called USC and UCLA leaving last summer, like last spring.
Months in advance.
Yeah. No one paid attention at the time because it's like, who the bleep is this guy, right?
It's a guy with a podcast.
Yeah. I think Florida State definitely wants to leave the ACC. I don't think that they're happy. They've made that known. I mean, they had that presentation, that show trial, essentially, in front of their Board of Regents earlier this year, where they talked about how far behind that conference is revenue-wise. And it has to chap their ass something fierce that UCF, you know, of all programs, UCF is set to make more than Miami and Florida State. I mean, that has to gnaw at them internally when they close their eyes at night. The problem is you're locked. I mean, you have this grant of rights. Signed it. Yes. You're locked in until 2036. Lawyers from all across the country have trekked to Greenville, South Carolina. South Carolina, North Carolina? Greenville. They've trekked to Greenville.
I think it's South. I'll look.
To comb over that grant of rights, which, by the way, was modeled very heavily after the Big 12's grant of rights. And all of those lawyers, and the reason they go there is because you can't take it with you, because otherwise it would be subject to open records requests, et cetera. So you have to view it at the conference office. they've made this trek. Lawyers from Clemson, from Florida State, from North Carolina, from Miami, all over the country, and they can't find a way out of it. Right? It should be, telling that Oklahoma and Texas, certainly Texas, did not try to fight the grant of rights. They did not try to buy their way out of it immediately. They were not combative about it publicly. And that's because it was rock solid. It was rock solid. They couldn't challenge it. And they only had to sit with it for 2 years.
Right.
Right? We're now, think about Florida State.
13.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe they found a way. And you know what? I hope they did, because that would make the next several weeks a lot more interesting. You know, hashtag content. But I just don't see how that works.
Greensboro, damn. North Carolina. I think you said Greenville. Yeah. If you didn't, that's what I heard.
No, I said Greenville.
Greenville, South Carolina is what is the city sort of adjacent to Clemson. Kind of like Bryan College Station or Champaign or Banner.
That's going to bother me all day, Gus.
That's all right. I just, but yeah, it was enough to confuse me. And you were.
What about Greenbow, Alabama? Where's that?
Oh, stop, dude.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron with you today until 6. We'll have coverage of the Rangers as they take on the Padres this weekend. That starts at 8:15 here on Lubbock's Sports Station. Someone says this. I have read something that says Florida State has a grant of rights fix. They signed on the original in a different manner. It's in a vault. Okay. I mean, that would be a very, like, TV show-esque way to get out of it. We'll see. I mean, again, I hope it happens, because that would, again, make this show super easy for the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks while we wait for actual football games to start. But it would surprise me.
It would set off some dominoes as well. That would be intriguing.
This from our friend Washed Up Guy, who says, I cannot help but see Oregon and Washington in the same light as Cal and Stanford. In their minds, they are just too darned superior to the Big 12 folks. In addition, they'll be trying to go to the Big 10 at the first opportunity. For both reasons, I see those schools as poison. I just don't see them working out. Well, I think that if you're the Big 12, you don't compromise, right, at this point. You've already drawn first blood with the Pac-12. You have a sure thing, it worst comes to worst, with UConn that at least some in the Big 12 feel good about. You know, if Oregon and Washington want some kind of, like, modified exit penalty, you say no. There is no compromise. Now, maybe if that conversation had been had 3 months ago, maybe you give a little bit. But at this point, you have way more leverage. They have way less. And so, yeah, the exit fee is the exit fee. The grant of rights is the grant of rights.
Right. That's simple.
This on the chat line.
Have you and I talked enough about access to the 12-team playoff? I mentioned that a little bit yesterday, and I don't know the answer to that. I'm not asking, like, leading you to something, but you know, if that conference is really weakened, let's just say for a hypothetical, there's two more teams, maybe three more teams coming that don't involve Oregon or Washington. So basically, the four corners. You know, really weakened product there, right? All that would be left would be Stanford, Cal, Oregon, Washington. Are they still going to have? I mean, they certainly would. That conference, if it was filled in with a bunch of Mountain West, that conference certainly wouldn't have access to the 12-team playoff, at least beyond. You can't imagine they're having anything other than a champion in that thing, right? In that 12-team playoff.
So, I mean, the contract as it is stated right now for this 12-team playoff, which is for the next 2 years, and then it's a new contract, right, that I don't think has been finalized yet.
Ah, okay.
I don't think that's – okay. I think that's right. So for the first 2 years of the 12-team playoff, the automatic entry for the conference champions of the top six conferences, right? The top-ranked conference champions, six, right? But I think that past that, with the new deal, I think that anything's on the table, Gus. I mean, if you're the SEC and the Big Ten especially, now that the Big 12 has been in some ways weakened, although we'll see kind of how they end up, with the Pac-12 severely weakened, maybe you aren't saying six automatic qualifiers for conference champions. Maybe you say four, right? Maybe you say three. Maybe you say none. You know, I think they'll probably have a lot of say-so. And
don't forget Notre Dame's involvement yeah. in that conversation.
Yeah. So I don't know how that shakes out. I think that's certainly a something to monitor.
Yeah, no doubt.
But because, yeah, I mean, like, there. This is a spot where Oregon and UW, their spot on the map, hurts them because not everyone is staying up to watch those games, right? You're not getting just a ton of respect anyways in the Pac-12, even before. And now, like you said, if you backfill with Colorado State and Boise State and
UNLV,
San Diego State and SMU or Tulane, whatever, who cares?
Right.
No one's really going to be very impressed with Oregon's 11-1 record,
right.
Even if they play and beat an SEC team in September. I mean, could they get in the playoff? Sure. Are they going to be given the benefit of the doubt in terms of seeding? No. Is that conference going to get the benefit of the doubt in terms of a champion and an at-large? Certainly not. So,
and they would probably rule that conference, you know, with maybe Washington as well, certainly with the resources to do so. But at some point, the kids on that roster that were recruited there to play in the Pac-12 and play games against USC and UCLA, at some point that portal conversation has to come up. Like, A, it has to affect future recruiting. Like, hey, come here. We're playing Boise State and Colorado State this year. You know,
but you can't watch it because it's all on Apple TV.
Right. That's going to make it a tough sell to continue doing what they've done at this level. And then, you know, just the possibility of a portal guy going, coach, this has been great, but my last year, I want to go play blank.
Here's another angle that's down the road, right? We're probably 4 years plus down the road. But say that the pack does somehow survive. Even if they have another defection or two, and you know they're able to kind of limp ahead because Oregon and UW are staying put for whatever reason. What happens if, you know, 4 years from now, 10 years from now, there is some sort of institutionalized, mandated revenue sharing of your media deals, right? And, of course, it'll be different for all conferences. But suddenly, your small stream of revenue is not just affecting your coaching salaries, your facilities, you know, that kind of stuff. It's also affecting your ability to pay players directly.
Right.
At that point, yeah. It becomes a very decisive disadvantage recruiting-wise because it goes from exposure and scheduling to money in my pocket.
Yeah.
Again, that's
sure.
That's 10 steps, 15 steps ahead of this conversation, but something to kind of think about. Jimmy, our friend Jimmy says this, if you were going to give a percentage chance to go to the Big 12 to each of the Pac-12 schools, how would you divide up those percentages?
So zero Stanford, zero Cal. I feel safe in those two. Well, not zero. 2% Stanford, 2% Cal. That leaves me 96.
So the remaining nine have to add up to 100. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Wait, man, remaining Jimmy's nine remaining. Do math.
Is that right? Yeah, that'd be
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, dang, let me get a pencil. Let's just rank them.
Yeah, so I think
you think Arizona's
next? I think
next?
Cal is dead last.
Yeah.
I don't think that you want anything to do with their administration, with their faculty, with their donors, with the Bay Area, with the government of California, which you would invite because they're a public school. And plus, they suck athletically. They offer you nothing. They are a net negative. They're an athletics vampire. Negative one instead of zero. I think Oregon State and Wazoo are next in whatever order. They don't bring enough. They care about athletics, don't bring enough. Stanford is probably next. I think that you'd probably take them if sure. they were interested. Private school, big brand, really successful athletically in the stuff that we don't care about.
They probably don't align very well, but yes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there would need to be some crow eaten or some kind of agreement reached. And then I think it's Oregon, Washington in some order. And then it's, you know, Utah. No, actually, scratch that. I think it's Arizona State is after Stanford, then Oregon, Washington, and then Utah, and then Arizona.
Really? Utah.
I think Arizona State is far more, I think its leadership, rather, is far more motivated and committed to the idea of the Pac-12
yeah.
than anything else. I think their president is very big on academics and research, and he wants to stick with the Pac-12. More Tech Talk next.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6. Love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Someone has this: Arizona State and Utah, it is said, received help from the coastal Pac-12 universities to attain AAU status. Yeah, potentially. Raiders, I have no idea about that. Raiders, that's
yeah,
this.
Interesting. Yeah.
I hope that your Mark Trolls Utah gives them an uncommittable offer, a la you're next on the list right after Arizona, Oregon, Washington, and Arizona State, laughing emoji. This on the chat line. Someone says, Pac-12 is weaker than the Big 12. Your opinion, AD. Correct. Yes, my opinion. I think you'll see it play out that way. This on the chat line. How many of the remaining Pac-12 schools are or have sent money to a Nigerian prince? That's from Raider's dad. This in the chat line. Why is UConn even an option? Well, I think it remains to be seen if they're a legitimate option or if this is just a leverage play to try and install some urgency for your, 14th spot. But the pros for UConn, tremendous basketball program, as we all know. They just won a national championship. It gives you access to the New York market. Now, keep in mind, and please note, I did not say foothold, right, or even toehold, but it gives you access to it. So you could conceivably hold events at Madison Square Garden, Big 12 tournament, or the Barclays Center, the Big 12 preseason tournament that they talked about, right?
Our commissioner probably knows a guy at the Barclays.
Yeah. You could do things there. Mm-hmm. UConn has a not insignificant presence in New York City. Now, again, I'm not saying you have a foothold there. It's not really a college area. And then I think that their football program has some life. It's not very good. It would be very bad in the Big 12 probably, but they have some life. And if you do go forward with the next deal, and uncouple your basketball product from your football product and negotiate those deals separately, the presence of UConn, you know, men's and women's basketball will help you there. I think Brett Yormark is very, very high on the revenue possibilities for doing it that way. So, I mean, that's the spiel. Now, as I, Gus, I don't want to speak for you, but I don't think either of us would be doing jumping jacks over UConn.
No.
The way that we were Colorado or would Arizona.
I mean, it...
Although they got a baseball program.
Yeah, they do. I'm not going to throw it out there as it's just a total leverage play, because I think there is some validity to it, all of which you just stated. I think there's some truth to that, but I guess if we were tying it to Jimmy's text a segment ago, where would UConn fit in that conversation, you know, in the ranking, if mm-hmm. you will. We didn't do percentages, but, you know, it's somewhere above the bottom of that list. It's, you know, I probably put it around sixth if I had to guess, but, you know, it's intriguing. They it's not a zero deal. It's not a complete bluff. Complete nonsense move would be, you know, to throw a San Diego State suddenly back onto the list or something. I mean, it's got way more than that.
What I would like to know, and I've not seen this reported anywhere, would they get the same full share pro rata treatment as Colorado? Clearly, they're not a Power 5 addition, so you would need some level of buy-in from ESPN and Fox to do that. Or maybe you bring them in purely as a partial member with a very slow and gradual buildup, and so that the per school hit revenue-wise is relatively small. I don't know. But I think that would color my opinion somewhat if it was kind of suddenly reported their full share pro rata. Then there's not as many negatives as there would have been otherwise. This on the chat line. Once the ACC grant of rights ends, do you see them falling apart? What teams will the Big 12 pick up if they do? Well, Gus, I mean, their most prominent brands are not really hiding the fact that they want to leave, that they're not happy with the ACC, with their media deal. And you're 14 years out of that grant of rights expiring. I can't see into the future, unfortunately. If I could, I wouldn't be here. No offense.
Come on, dude.
But it's hard to be super optimistic about their future when you already have a sizable number of their teams, perhaps their most valuable teams, universities, programs, wanting to explore other options. I mean, I don't know how you could be optimistic about the ACC at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
And what teams would the Big 12 pick up? I think part of that depends on, you know, how many teams you have this time a year from now. Right? I mean, are you at 16? Are you at 14? Are you at 14 with UConn? I mean, like, I think all that dictates what your next moves are. And then also, you know, how high do the SEC and Big Ten go? Do they go to 20? Do they go to 22?
Right.
Because that also, of course, affects things.
And that's really where that, yeah, that's you're right. I mean, because I think there's appeal to Pittsburgh and North Carolina State that would fit right in our league and be not really travel partners, but create some alignment with UCF and certainly West Virginia. They get a border as a conference, a traditional rival as a conference rival, and they're an hour apart. I mean, mm-hmm. there'd be a lot to like. It's the same reason I've said I'd like to see Utah take all the stuff out just in terms of the product. I would love to have Utah and BYU in our conference, because it's a rivalry.
Right.
The two don't like each other. Yeah, it's some juice. If, you know, if we're sitting around on October 7th looking for a game to watch, and we can call this a Big 12 game? You know, and from a, whatever, 500 miles away or 800 miles away, however far away that is, Provo. But that would be, I mean, Salt Lake, yeah, Provo. The, you know, to just to be in a conference in which that game goes from something that's just interesting, an interesting matchup this weekend, to now this affects the standings, mm-hmm. it affects our bowl pecking order, our league credibility, whatever. These two hate each other, and I'm here for it.
Someone asks, do I go to Barbie or Oppenheimer tonight?
I haven't seen Barbie, have seen Oppenheimer. My son did the Barbenheimer. I think he was probably a little more keen on Oppenheimer, but it may have more to do with the style of movie you want. But there's probably neither of them are just zeros and thumbs down. He would tell you they were both thumbs up.
I feel like you need to be. I think Barbie's a more casual commitment.
Good way to say it. Yep.
But if you're going to go see Oppenheimer, there almost needs to be a plan. Because it's a three-hour movie. If you go there at 7, you're getting out at 10. Maybe 10:30 once all the previews and ads are done. It's a commitment, right?
And it's not a somber movie. I think the right way to say it. You don't leave there unhappy or sad.
It's like Schindler's List.
Yes, exactly. But it's serious and it's historic and I thought it was really good and
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going.
If you're looking for something on a Friday night, then we'll go get drinks. I didn't watch Barbie, but probably, I would go do drinks. If you're looking for a good Saturday, quiet, thoughtful matinee, there's your Oppenheimer.
This has been the Tech Talk podcast presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.